You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Second down and 7. Pass is high in the air and picked. Simon is back there to grab it out of the air and an early takeaway for this Patriots defense. This one's blocked. Out of the air, into the end zone for the touchdown. It's the rookie, Winovich. Now Eli Penny in. They fake it to him. Good protection, and this one is hit in the air and picked off. Intercepted by Daron Harmon. Looked like that ball was tipped. And Harmon out of bounds near the 20. That's Lacoste back in there for New England. Hand off to Bolden for the touchdown. Sony Michel checks in. Brady takes, plows ahead. He's got it for the touchdown. Pass is picked by Gilmore. And that is number 3 for Daniel Jones. Jones for Hilleman. On third down, ball comes out. Picked up by the Patriots, and Van Noy dives.
Kyle Van Noy scoring the Patriots' second touchdown from defense and special teams on the night, salting away a 35-14 win over the Giants, a score that is kind of misleading. It was closer and also a bigger blowout than we expected, and it was a weird game in many ways. The Patriots' defense committing getting 4 takeaways off of the Giants, scoring 14 points. And really, you know, this game went into halftime pretty close. It was a one-score game going into the fourth quarter, and yet the Patriots, who remain undefeated, still look like the cream of the AFC. The Giants, they are who we thought they were. Daniel Jones, a rookie quarterback, making his first start in primetime against Bill Belichick, played how we expected. You know, it started out odd, but I think the result is what we expected.
Yeah, it was exactly what I expected. I tweeted this out. By the way, Jeremy, doing the ATN Thursday Night Recap.
Oh, that's right. We have to introduce ourselves.
We should introduce ourselves.
These are voices you are not used to hearing.
Yeah, Eddie Spaghetti here, crossing over from DDFP and Fantasy, now doing the ATN Recap because the heroes are over in London having a great time. And I believe today also is Mark Sessel's birthday, so happy birthday, Mark.
Happy birthday, Mark. They're probably sleeping right now. They're not out and about. Probably not.
What time would it be there? We're doing this around 9:15.
I think this is an 8-hour time difference. I don't really know.
They've been busy with doing shoots. I've been seeing all their stuff on social media. They put out a pod today.
Working hard.
I know they are, and I hope they're having fun.
Crisscrossing the city.
But, 35-14. My pregame tweet, I said 34-13. I said that Darius Slayton would have a big game. It was Golden Tate with the biggest game, although Slayton did have targets, as we're talking about off air before we started. Defense, I said Golden would have a good game. He did. You know, Lonzo Carter looked good. Jack Rabb made a couple good plays, a couple of boneheaded plays, just sloppy penalties again, which is carrying over from last week from the Vikings game. And then, yeah, you have a rookie quarterback going into Foxborough, where Belichick has never lost at home with facing a rookie quarterback. So I kind of knew what this game was getting into, but from the start, it didn't. it didn't feel like, oh no, this game is not going to be the Patriots going down the field and the Giants looking inept and they're going to score and it'll be over by the end of the first quarter. It was like a really wonky start, the wind, and like a couple guys are hurt in the Patriots squad. Obviously, Giants have a lot of injuries themselves, and it's like, okay, this may be a sloppy game that weird stuff's going to happen. A lot of weird stuff did happen.
That's right. It started out, everybody was talking about the Giants coming into the game. You don't have Saquon, you don't have Gallman, Evan Ingram, Sterling Shepard. Who is Daniel Jones supposed to throw to get the ball to against a defense that is taking the ball away from everybody? Jameis Winston, Kirk, everybody that they've played against. And, you know, it didn't start well for the Patriots. Tom Brady moved the ball up and down the field, but they went for fourth on an early drive. They didn't get it. The Giants moving the ball as well, but punt it right back.
Right.
But when the Giants punt the ball back in their own zone, a big play from the Patriots special teams, block punt, Chase Winovich of all people, the best, arguably the best player, Patriots player from Michigan on the field tonight, not Tom Brady, Chase Winovich, receives the punt block touchdown, runs it into the end zone. And, you know, if you're somebody who owns the Patriots in fantasy, this is, you know, this amazing. Is what you want. The defense special teams, four turnovers again, and the punt block return. So that's pretty much five turnovers. And that's how it got started.
Yeah.
But then pretty much the Patriots score again. But Daniel Jones, who struggled mostly in this game, throwing tight window passes as he is wont to do, has been doing it at a rate higher than any other quarterback in the league, finally breaks one open on to Golden Tate, a 64-yard touchdown pass. The Patriots are up 14-0. We think that the Giants are lost in this game. Breaks it out to Golden Tate over Jonathan Jones, and suddenly the Giants are back in this, and then almost on the very next drive, Marcus Golden shows up and attacks the Patriots' left side. Ryan Izzo is protecting Marshall Newhouse, who's a fill-in on the left. Strip sacks Tom Brady. You don't see that very often. And Marcus Golden takes it.
Yeah, a couple of points to make to go back to the what you're recapping here. And the beginning of the game, when they stopped them, it was like a third down stop and a fourth down stop. And then, you know, Golden gets the sack at an early part of the game. And now I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, this defense, the Giants defense, actually came to play. They're here. They showed up. This defense has been much better since the second half of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game, where they obviously came back and won that game. And I'm thinking to myself, like, oh man, like, only if Saquon was playing, and only if Evan Ingram was playing, and only if Sterling Shepard was playing, you have give him some kind of safety blanket. Like, because in my head, I'm like, okay, well, you can cancel out either Slayton or Golden Tate, because Stephon Gilmore, in my opinion, is probably the best cover corner, if not a defensive MVP.
Stephon Gilmore had a pick in this game and also five passes defense.
Yeah, I mean, he's insane. He's, I mean, I'm shocked that Jones even wanted to throw in his direction. So
very confident, Jones. I mean, you see it on a lot of these
way
picks.
Too confident.
Way too confident for a rookie, but you can see that he wants to take chances, and that was evident in a lot of the passes attempted toward Gilmore.
He had an insane amount of passes there with like less than a yard of room, and I think he only completed the touchdown you mentioned to Tate, and one other pass that was like completed over 10 yards. So early on, too, because with the defense playing that great, and they're just doing these like dink and dunk little screens with Jones, he's not taking shots downfield, and I'm like, you're getting to Brady, you're stopping their run, and they're like, Josh Gordon is all banged up, he's not playing, so you had the chance to strike and they weren't in striking distance, and then all of a sudden, like you mentioned, the two straight scores, it's 14-14, and now it's like, okay, we have a ball game. This is not what I expected whatsoever. I thought they're going to be out of this game literally within a couple minutes and Brady would look great and whatever. And it got to the point where Brady wasn't making plays, the Giants were making plays, I know, defensively. And I'm like, is this the Patriots team 2019? Are they like a replica of the 2000 Baltimore Ravens? Like, in my head, I was going to say that. I was going to tweet that out and get eaten alive on Twitter. And luckily, I did not do that because, I mean, he ended up with a pretty good game overall, Tom Brady, not to go early to the end of the game. But he, I mean.
Well, right after the Marcus Golden fumble return, you see Belichick, you know, kind of shaking his head, rubbing his eyes on the sideline. The Patriots still had 4 minutes left in the half, and they embark on probably their drive of the game.
It was a great drive.
11-play drive. It took 4 minutes, and they eventually scored on a Tom Brady TD run, which is first, you know, what you get, QB sneak from Tom Brady. This was the first game, interestingly enough, that Tom Brady had a TD run, didn't throw a touchdown, threw a pick, and also fumbled. It was a very odd game from him. Mm-hmm. He was short a lot of weapons today. He came in without Rex Burkhead, without Philip Dorsett.
Right.
And then pretty much halfway through the game, Josh Gordon goes out with a knee injury that he suffers on the return of Marcus Golden into the end zone.
Sure.
And so by the end of the game, Brady is playing with, a mix of James White and Sony Michel, Edelman, but then you're also playing with Jacoby Myers, Gunnar Osholsky, I don't really know how to pronounce his name, from Bemidji State, who played like about 50 snaps, and Ryan Izzo is your tight end. I mean, they were talking earlier in the game, because Kraft said something on NFL Network about how, you know, Gronk hasn't signed his retirement papers yet, and Rob Gronkowski showed up on the Fox pregame show. They asked him about whether he was thinking about coming out of retirement, and he said, only when I really feel it, but I'm keeping the door open. When you see a game like this where a lot of the weapons go out, you cut Ben Watson this week, maybe you think about trying to bring Gronk back in. I know he looked like he was having a great time with Strahan and the guys on at the Fox halftime set, but the Patriots really, they lost a lot of guys today, and this, I mean, and Brady, I mean, they moved the ball after the half. They, right out of the half, they went on a 16-play drive. Took over 9 minutes, and then there was a missed field goal, and then they went on another 9-play drive, turnover on downs, because they don't trust Mike Nugent, right, as they should not trust Mike Nugent at this point. And this was a one-score game into the fourth quarter. Daniel Jones had the ball, down 7 points, and if he had somebody like Saquon, like Sterling Shepard, maybe they could have moved the ball.
He needed one safety blanket, because like I said before, Stephon Gilmore, who in the second half had a pick on a drive the Giants were moving the ball. It was a total momentum killer. And yeah, if he had a safety blanket, if he had Evan Ingram, who's a mismatch nightmare, if you have Saquon Barkley. And can I... They're running the ball with Hillman up the gut so many times in a row, and it's like, I wanted to scream that it's not working. Like, it's just not going to work. It was giving me PTSD back when, like, Kevin Gilbride was offensive coordinator, and they would do, like, the third and nine Eli draw plays, and it's just like, stop pounding this. It's not going to work. First of all, you have Elijah Penny in the roster. Use him in the short yardage anyway over Hillman. I mean, that shows you the difference of Saquon Barkley versus whoever, because Saquon will bounce it outside. He will make a play. He's more dynamic in the passing game, because Jones was just forcing. I don't know if it was the wind or if it was just because that was the only thing the Patriots were giving him on defense, was to just dump the ball up to your running back and let him make a play. Well, me and you both know that, you know, they're not, Hillman or Penny are not going to make the plays that Saquon would, or even to an extent, having Wayne Gallman is a little bit more of an upgrade over those two guys who played today. So that, yeah, that was a that really hurt the Giants.
It was a shame that Saquon didn't get to play. Belichick, you know, Belichick has these guys that he really enjoys, sure. Ed Reed, guys like that. Saquon, he was talking lovingly about Saquon early in the week, saying, you know, there's really nothing wrong with him as a running back, and, you know, they're glad that they're not playing him. And with a defense like the Patriots have, where there's no shining star, but everybody contributes,
right,
the secondary can shut teams down, can shut Cody Latimer down or Darius Slayton down. You really need somebody like Saquon, somebody to carry the ball, touch the ball 25 times. It was a shame that he couldn't get back from the ankle injury by the time this game kicked off. But again, they had the ball with just over 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Jones gets blitzed from Daron Harmon, dumps it down to Hillman, and, you know, the play of the game that you heard at the beginning, mm-hmm, of this podcast, strip sacked by Jamie Collins, who's having a great year, and then picked up by Kyle Van Noy after a scrum, runs it in, and from there, they really didn't have a chance.
Yeah, the offensive line, a lot of people were saying on social media, I was reading that this offensive line's a lot better, and I wanted to just reply to everyone and be like, yeah, it's a lot better than it was last year. Last year, you were, you know, it was Will Hernandez's rookie year, and Solder and him didn't have the chemistry on the left side of the line, and Jalapia was injured, and the right side of the line was a mess, and obviously now with the trading away Olivier Vernon, getting in Kevin Zeiler, and then having Remmers play right tackle, and Will Hernandez is becoming a pretty good left guard, and obviously Jalapia, it's a much better unit. That being said, last week versus the Vikings had their way with them, so they are starting to crack a little bit, and I expected the same from this Patriots defense, because it's one of the best defenses that we've seen in recent memory. And that goes back to what you were saying too about, you know, not having the safety blanket, not having Saquon. That was forcing Daniel Jones to make these tight window throws, and he had three interceptions in this game. Eli had three interceptions in, I think, his career versus the Patriots over, like, was like five games or whatever it was, including the playoffs. So, like, you know, it's a really, really bad game from someone who felt like he had to do more, and he wasn't running the ball. He wasn't scrambling as much as
he had
was.
A couple scrambles, but none that really moved the ball, moved the chains.
None, no. I mean,
saw some mobility in the pocket, but other than that.
And look, I mean, it's a combination of him being a rookie and the Patriots being really, really good. Like, they're just a really good defense. They're a really good team defense. They're coached well. Like, the Giants offensive line is not the best. The Giants were without their best offensive weapons, literally their best receiver, their best tight end, and their best running back, who may be their best running back in the league. And you're throwing a rookie quarterback into Foxborough. Again, like, I reiterating, it's just not a recipe. It's a recipe for disaster. You know what you're getting into with this game. But that's why it stings so much that they were one score. They were tied at one point. They were obviously one score away going into the fourth quarter. Like, they actually could have won this game. And it's a classic Patriots game. Then just like bleeding you out slowly until you know what's going to happen. They're going to just, you know, control the clock. Eventually they'll score on the field and score. And that's why they had, you know, the easy touchdowns with Bolden. Brady had two rushing touchdowns himself. And I feel like a lot of passes in the second half of the game, I'm not sure how many, you probably have the stats, how many offensive plays the Patriots had versus the Giants defense.
Well, I can tell you that the Patriots ended the game, and this was kind of like how the Colts beat the Chiefs, except I wouldn't call Daniel Jones Patrick Mahomes at this point. The Patriots finished the game with 39 minutes of time of possession. I mean,
defense is gassed.
I mean, the Patriots offense, you know, moved the ball well, but they also didn't finish.
Sure.
But the Giants had no chance afterward. You know, the defense is gassed, and then you just keep going down. And by the time that the final defensive touchdown came, Giants couldn't move the ball, and then the Patriots come right back down and make it a 3-score game, and it's over.
That's exactly what it felt like in the second half. The Giants defense was just gassed. They were doing everything they possibly could with a bunch of backups and missing like guys at linebacker, and the defensive backfield's a mess. It's a really tough year, and they somehow figured out how to stop or at least slow down the Patriots for a bit. But once you got to the late second half, I felt there were so many receptions by the Patriots players. There were just like no guys near them. Like no one was being covered. Like you have these backup slot guys coming in and like tight ends and like guys who no one across the country even knows their names, and they're just catching balls. There's no defense within 7 yards in a circle of them. And I'm like, well, that's going to happen when you're on the field for that long and your offense is not moving the ball, because then when the offense is trying to score points, it's just like around the middle, and then some kind of like weak third down little pass behind the line of scrimmage to a running back, and it's not going anywhere. And like, they were not taking shots. Like I said before, Jones didn't complete. He only completed two passes that were longer than 10 yards. Like, that's just not going to win you ball games with the Patriots in Foxborough.
Again, I don't know what we should have expected with the Giants coming in here. The Patriots defense, and maybe this is a good transition into what we expect from both of these teams going forward. The Patriots defense, through six games, have 16 turnovers, 16 takeaways, 14 interceptions. No other team in the league has more than seven, so that's double. They have a plus 142 point differential. They get the Jets next week on Monday Night Football, so we think that maybe they can go into the week 8 at 7-0. But then the Patriots face a pretty pretty staunch gauntlet. Browns, yeah. Ravens, Eagles, Cowboys, Texans, Chiefs with a bye somewhere in there. They were talking about earlier before the game, can we compare this defense to the Bears of 85 or the Ravens of 2000? We're looking at the early season competition, and by the end of this game, their competition has a record of 7-22 by my count. You know, how are you supposed to judge them when they're beating up Luke Falk and Ryan Fitzpatrick and Daniel Jones on the road at home on a short week? I don't know. I think the turnovers tell a different story. I think that the fact that they are blowing teams that they should blow out, I mean, it doesn't look pretty,
mm-hmm.
but at the end of the day, they won by 3 scores when they weren't playing their best. And I think that suits them well going into these games against also young quarterbacks like Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, Carson and Dak, who have history, Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. These are all young quarterbacks schemed going against the defense schemed by Bill Belichick, who should probably, ruin their days a bit.
A few questions about that. Well, first I'll go with their schedule. I know you said like you called it a gauntlet.
I think it's a gauntlet.
The Browns, Ravens, Eagles, Cowboys, Texans, Chiefs, and then it gets really easy.
It's like a singular commercial. Just the bars keep going up.
But in reality, how many games of those do you think they're going to lose? Because I'm looking at like Cleveland's a mess. They're going to beat Cleveland. Baltimore's come back down to earth. They're not as good as we all thought. They're going to beat them. Between if you want to say they'll split between the NFC East teams, the better NFC East teams, and then Eagles and Dallas. All right. I mean, Dallas lately has looked whatever, but I think think they're a good squad. Same, I think, goes for the Eagles. Houston, I don't trust Houston to ever beat the Patriots in the history of mankind. That'll never happen. And then the one game that everyone wants to see is them versus the Chiefs. That'll be an interesting game. But, I mean, yeah, it's a gauntlet in terms of you're not playing Luke Falk, you're not playing the Dolphins, you're not playing the Redskins, or the Giants at this point. But
don't put yourself.
I know. I'm being very self-deprecating. but I still think they're going to come out. Maybe I can't see them losing more than two games of that. I don't even think they would lose two. Maybe one at worst.
Well, it's not a problem if the Patriots lose one or two games. I mean, they're really only competing with the Chiefs for the top seed in the AFC. Maybe the Bills, but you don't expect the Bills to, any more than a wild card threat there. The question is, can they go undefeated? Because people want to crown this team as a all-time great defense, and the offense is not picking it up. They have a lot of injuries on the offensive side of the ball. I'm not sure if the offensive line situation is as solid as they'd prefer. The tight end situation the same way. The running game today was not Sony Michel's best. They couldn't really establish the run. That's what you want to see out of the Patriots. You're expecting great things. You're expecting maybe an undefeated season or something close to it. And so that's why it's going to be interesting, because they really, I mean, I don't know how the NFL schedule gods did this. They split it into pretty much Sam Houston State for six straight weeks, and then you're going right into the Auburn game if you're, to compare it to Alabama.
Yeah, exactly.
Or
Alabama, you're scheduling those cupcakes, and you have to pay the school to come play you.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's really what it is. And it's just so weird, too, that this Patriots team is... they're just so, they adapt to what they have to to become. Because right now, Tom Brady, I mean, he had statistically it was an okay game, 31-41, 334. He did have the pick.
It looks good at the end,
two rushing touchdowns. But during the game, I wasn't like, oh man, he's going to pick us apart. I lost that feeling about Tom Brady that he's going to, I shouldn't say, he could win you games, but I don't fear him like I maybe used to, or someone like Pat Mahomes, who's going to just close his eyes and sling the ball 60 yards. Tom Brady will not do that anymore. He doesn't have to, though, because the defense is elite, or whatever. There's a better term than elite, because they're by themselves right now. And then you have, you have four or five running backs who could seemingly just come in and get 100 yards on the ground, catch a bunch of passes. So, they don't need Brady to be this amazing superhero quarterback. They have a great ground game. They have a great defense, and that's enough. And he could be an elite game manager and figure out how to beat these teams, because they're just that much smarter, that they're that much more well prepared than the 31 other teams in this league.
It's amazing.
At least I think
it's amazing. We're calling future Hall of Famer, 42-year-old, likely All Pro Tom Brady, a game manager.
But that's
point.
Okay, and not just a game. He is the elite game. He is the game manager of game managers.
Yes.
He's the branch manager. He's as good as it comes. And like I said, I'm not shocked that there's going to be game. I mean, he had 31 completions, threw for over 300 yards versus the Giants.
27 first downs, almost 40 minutes of time of possession. I mean, but this is how you defeat
a team. And that to me is it's not just about his numbers and his stats. I think that he knows he's calling the right plays. He knows what to do. Him and Belichick together are going to do what they have to do to win games. That's why he doesn't have to be a superhero. He could be this. He could be what he is right now at 42. He's going to be limited physically because of his age, but that's okay. Their one main concern, mentioned, is the offensive line. You don't want to see Tom Brady at this age with a bad offensive line, him scrambling around, because then that's going to change everything about this team. The one thing they need to do is to run the ball consistently and to at least get these running backs the catches out of the backfield. You can't do that if you have Marshall Newhouse playing left tackle and needing the tight end to constantly help chip block him for an entire game. That's just not going
to
help you at all.
And fail to do so against Lorenzo Carter. So yeah, he got hit six times, sacked three times. The Patriots, I think, will be all right for at least next week. The Giants, it's not quite a lost season, because you still have to watch Daniel Jones, and you're not the Redskins, at least. You're not the fourth team, and you're not tanking like the Dolphins.
Sure.
There's something to play for here, but you need Saquon, Shepard, Ingram to get back and see what this offense could be at its peak. You only got a half of that against the Bucs, and that was not even their best half.
No, totally. I mean, you could see from my mood, I'm not here crying about the loss. I went in pretty indifferent, going, okay, let's just take some positives from this game. And there were some positives versus the best team in the NFL. There's some glaring negatives, though. Daniel Jones, the best thing about him so far this year in comparison to Eli was his ability to convert on third down. This game they only converted 20% of their third down plays, which is that's a really bad thing to do in Foxborough versus a team like this. So that I didn't love. I mean, the sloppiness has continued. I said it before, it was the Vikings game, and Daniel Jones had a problem with fumbling snaps too, and now he's throwing picks.
Today, though.
He did not fumble, but he threw three picks, and like the tight end, I was like, I don't like to see that. He's got to be smarter about that. That's something you don't want, because if he's going to turn the ball over, you're going to lose games, no matter how good the defense might be playing as of late. So yeah, I mean, their schedule upcoming. Arizona is going to be tougher than people realize, I think. I don't love the idea of having a mobile quarterback running around with the defense. Like, it's not a lockdown defense. And
James Betcher revenge game.
Exactly. Yeah. And then Detroit, I think Detroit's actually pretty solid. And then you have the Cowboys again, this time with Daniel Jones. They played him the first time with Eli. And then you have, the Jets. But Darnold back, who knows about that game? Like, a lot of these are coin flips. Like, Chicago should beat them. Green Bay should beat them. Philadelphia should beat them. Then you have Miami and Washington back-to-back. Hopefully those are wins. And then Philadelphia again to end the season. So, like, it's not going to look great wins and loss wise, but right now the Giants are like, I'm going to use an analogy with the Avengers and the end game when you have, three or four guys fighting Thanos, and that's like what the Giants team is right now. Right now, when Ingram comes back and Saquon comes back and Trevor comes back and gets some guys on defense back, and even Gallman to spell Saquon when needed, that's like when the circle rings start coming and the guys start stepping out. That's when the team's complete. So right now, we're Giants fans collectively are just like, you're not really seeing what it's supposed to be. So that's why it's okay. But it's still frustrating to lose games in the manner they did, like tonight, where you're sloppy, and if you don't take dumb penalties like what Golden did out of bounds, and you don't throw the ball into tight windows and three of those are turnovers, don't fumble the ball, just block on punts, and then, this game could have been different. That is very frustrating. I'd rather almost just get smoked and lose 45-0 and not even be involved.
I don't know. I think this was a really encouraging performance from the Giants. You saw the defense step up. On occasion, they couldn't stop the Patriots in the second half when they were moving the ball. But the fact that Lorenzo Carter got to Brady on occasion, Marcus Golden, there's a lot to work with there. Jack Rabbit got a pick, but Brady kind of threw it to him.
Yeah.
The Giants, they're not really playing for the postseason.
No.
Shurmur is kind of not – he's not really coaching for his job necessarily. So they're kind of in a purgatory right now. And a win tonight, Thursday night, would have really turned the season around. He's turned the feelings around.
Sure. No, it's totally like, Golden Tate wanted more targets and he got more targets in this game. He's a guy that he's going to be, hopefully a part of the immediate future on this.
It's not like Jones had another option.
By the way, Tate was he's the first player, little fantasy nugget here, the first player in fantasy to score 15 or more points, first New England's defense this year. So Golden Tate, you should be very happy about your performance today. No more crying to the media.
For the Fantasy Live podcast.
Yeah. And then this is the first time since, I think, 2017 where Tom Brady's fumbled and threw an interception. So, that's another slight positive. But exactly what you're saying. They're in this weird purgatory of, you wanted to see guys grow. Marcus Golden bet on himself and took a one-year contract. And the guy's been a monster every single game for the Giants. He's going to get a massive contract. Hopefully, it's with this team and just stays. That's a piece I'm looking forward to because he's fully healthy now. Dexter Lawrence up the middle should be a beast. Lorenzo Carter, young, great player, should be great. Dribble Preppers had, I think he was tied or second for tackles tonight. He's looked better. So there are some bright spots. DeAndre Baker hopefully just only gets better. He made a couple of nice tackles. I know his coverage has been pretty spotty early on, but there are pieces on the defensive side, offensive side. They have a great core, just not healthy right now. So it's just a waiting game. You want to see the full squad there. You want to see what Daniel Jones could do with his top targets. For us, a brief second there, a lot of Giants fans were happy going, wow, this is going to happen in Foxborough tonight. He's going to shock the world. But, the rug was pulled out from underneath, and the Patriots did what the Patriots always do. And it should, and frankly, it should have happened like that. They are the better team. They will be playing in late January, probably in February. And right now, the Giants saw what it's like to go to the best team's building in a primetime game. And the second half, like I said before, they just slowly let him out. And that's what they do. There's nothing else you could really say.
There was no 18-1 on Thursday night.
No.
Miracle did not happen. There was no David Tyree, no stick him on the helmet. The Patriots move to 6-0. The Giants 2-4. We got football Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
Early football Sunday.
Yeah. We
Heroes are going to be in London.
London game for, was it Bucks Panthers? And a couple other, there's a couple of big matches I'm looking forward to on Sunday as well. It should be another good week. It's for me, I guess I can enjoy this Sunday without having to wake up and worry.
Without having to worry about the Giants potentially ruining your Sunday. You're in a foul mood.
No, yeah. By then it's days past. So I'm fine. I could just sit down and let everyone else worry about it. I'll just have my fantasy team up and check that, or you know, put the red zone on or whatever, and just watch the games, totally enjoying them because I have no dog in the fight. That's a great feeling.
Great feeling. We're on to the next one, as are the Giants and the Patriots. Thanks for listening. This is Jeremy Bergman and Eddie Spaghetti filling in for the Heroes.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.